Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at Kizik.com/socks.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's RBC Heritage. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, hey, buddy.
Rick, what's going on? Cool tournament so far. This has been awesome, and it was really fun today. Feels like these guys are revved up, roaring, and ready to go. And for some of them, ready to just run it back after the Masters.
Yeah, a kind of similar looking leaderboard too. Yeah. Guys played well last week are right back in the mix of it again. Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg. Who else am I missing? There was one more, I thought.
Well, Cantlay didn't have a bad Masters. Chris Kirk had a good Masters. Xander's down there, played nice again today.
Yeah, they did. So let's talk about this, because there was a lot of movement on moving day. Let's hit the early movers, and then we'll get to the chaos of what is the top of the leaderboard at the moment. So we got a little bit of the blueprint early this morning from Max Homa, who has gotten better each and every day this week, 71, 70, and now a 66. He was just firing out of the gate. His first 10 holes were par, eagle, bogey, bogey, birdie, 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 par, birdie, birdie. So that's a two pencil 10 holes. He ends up shooting a 66, 5 under par.
Max hit the ball really well today, and he's been kind of uncharacteristically struggling with the putter this week. Look, these are very different green speeds, very different slopes on the greens than what we saw last week. And it's no surprise to see Max Homa come in perhaps a little fatigued, but in this round, he hit the ball really, really nicely. And I think the longest putt he made was 10 feet, 9 inches. And all the other birdies he made were well inside of that. I think all the other ones were inside of 6 feet. So he hit the ball really well today, especially with those short irons and wedges.
A man who never struggles with the putter is Denny McCarthy. Probably, if not the best putter in the world, definitely top three, and he is top five this week in Harbor Town. Greg, he shot a 66, his best round of the week. He moved up 19 spots. He's currently in a tie for 21st, but it's a good week this week. He was in it. I mean, played well enough to win at the Texas Open. We're starting to get Denny putting together four rounds at a time here.
Well, you know what's really cool in Texas is, like you say, maybe the best putter on tour. And he has been statistically for the last 5 years or so. But the problem has been we haven't really seen that putting come out in contention, right? And he hasn't, where, you know, there are some other players who have putted really well in big moments. And so it's a difficult argument. But what we saw out of Denny in Texas was, okay, this is the best putter, putting his best when he needs to. And that was a really cool thing to see. And in the third round today, he was very good on the greens, very unlike Max Homa. I mean, he made a lot of putts from outside of 15 feet, a couple 20 footers, a lot of those 10, 12 footers. he was pouring in. So when Denny's able to get it in play out here on this golf course and hit the greens with those wedges, doesn't even have to hit them close. Just hit greens in regulation and he could put a low one together.
Yeah, give yourself a chance to make birdie, and he converts a lot of those. Doesn't really matter where they're from. If you played Wyndham Clark in one and done like I did, this is feeling like it is too little too late. However, he has put together a consecutive round of 66, 72, 66, 66. He has moved up from basically last to a tie for 17th. Today, it was six birdies and a bogey. This is what I wanted to see, Greg. This is what I expected from Wyndham Clark starting on Thursday. He got started on Friday.
Yeah. Thursday's round, in a crazy way, like shot him out of the tournament, mm-hmm. right? One over par round and you're done. We liked him in DFS, felt like he was priced a little too low. It's not a great golf course for him, but he performed well the last couple of days. And this round, there a lot of scrambling from Wyndham Clark, especially on the front nine. You see the birdies on the par fives, right? The birdie on nine. These are scrambling birdies. Up and down birdies, which is great. You're able to shoot two under and miss a number of greens. But he did start to hit it a little better, some more greens on the back nine, which was a positive sign.
We had a lot of movement at the top of the board. Remember, we entered Saturday with four guys tied for the lead. We had a couple more, just one shot off the lead, a few more, just two shots off the lead. A lot of movement since then. We are going to recap that, get you the updated board, look ahead until to Sunday's final round. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. All right, Gregors, let's start with two guys who started the day at 11 under par. Both had disappointing 70s, Tom Hoge and JT Poston. We can go in any direction here. Poston made a double early in his round and kind of failed to claw it all back. Hoge played fairly well during the middle of his round, but he started with a bogey. He ended with two bogeys. This was not the days that these two needed to really vault themselves and keep themselves in a contention here.
No, I'm curious about Tom Hoge, probably a little more than JT Poston, but a quick thought on JT Poston. He has just simply not hit enough greens, and the work that he did in rounds one and two was so heavy on the short game and putting. And this is why we have the model, right, Rick? Like this is why you look at that and say it's unlikely that that's sustainable. And this is why it's not a terrible round. He's still very much in the mix at 12 under, but it's disappointing. Hard to keep up what he did over the first two rounds.
Real quick before you go to Tom Hoge, JT Poston hit 14 greens on Thursday. He has hit a total of 18 in the two rounds after that. So not enough greens.
Yeah, not enough. Even though they're small, yeah. Not enough. Tom Hoge had a horrific day on the greens.
That's very kind of you to call it horrific.
He's been putting great. This season in 2024, he has only had one event where he lost strokes on the greens. He's been putting great. I think in Texas, he gained 8 strokes putting. And at the Players, he gained like 5 strokes putting. He's been putting fantastic. And he putted great in rounds 1 and 2. And all of a sudden, he loses 4 strokes. 4 strokes putting. He was 68th today on the greens. He's missing shorties, a couple, 3 or 4 footers. A lot of 8 to 12 feet birdie opportunities that he missed. This was an uncharacteristically bad day for Tom Hoge on the greens.
I'm glad you mentioned that. So he lost a shade over 4 strokes putting. It's going to end up being his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Basically the 12th worst putting round of his career. And he's been around for a very long time. So we're talking about over 800 rounds. What's crazy, Greg, and you mentioned it, he's still a positive putter for the week.
Yeah.
Because of what? So he had basically one of the worst putting rounds of his career, and he's still a positive putter this week because he was making everything on Thursday and Friday. That's got to shock the system a little bit when you go from, you know, can't miss to can't make.
I think he's still pretty confident, and he seems like an easygoing guy. I don't think he'll get himself in a tizzy over it. So in a way, it's a good sign. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go shoot 67 tomorrow, 66 tomorrow, and putt well again. I think it's pretty easy to write this one off as an anomaly.
If you were one of the many people who picked Patrick Cantlay in one and done this week, he was the most popular selection both in our one and done for on Run Your Pool, in basically any one and done across the internet. You just got to be so frustrated with this guy all the time. You know, he is in a tie for 7th. It has been a good week. He has shot a 67, a 66, and a 68. But watching him today was painful. He parred each of his first 11 holes. He then got hot. And you're thinking, all right, here comes that charge. Birdie on 12, birdie on 13, eagle on 15, 4 under in 4 holes. All we have to do is clean this 2-foot 3-inch putt up on 18, car to 67, be in at 13 under par, have a chance to win. They pay a lot of money for second place as well. All that fun stuff. He whiffs it from 2 feet and cards a 68 instead.
By the way, second place in one and done is like a win.
Yeah, it's going to be like $2 million.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably, the guy who's probably going to win, you probably can't play. Anyway,
right. So you might end up winning the week with a solo second, and Cantlay is like probably maybe the favorite to finish second if he finishes at 13 under par and whiffs a 2-footer on his last putt of the day.
And it's very similar to Tom Hoge's round. Very similar. I mean, Rick, he couldn't make anything unless it was for par. He made a couple of those 8-foot par putts. But for the most part, he hit wedges in there close. He had 7 feet, 8 feet, 12 feet, 13 feet, 6 feet, miss, 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 all of them. He just could not buy one. And then all of a sudden he makes those 4 threes in a row, and they're all, you know, with the exception of the eagle, they're 5-footers that he got to go somehow. And he's a good putter. He putts well here.
He has been, I mean, if I go back and pull like the last 5 years, he's probably one of the best putters on the PGA Tour.
Right. Right. And I don't know. I don't have much of an answer for it. It's a hard game. He shot 68, and it's hard to rip a guy for shooting 68.
No.
Because if it's 67 and he makes the putt at the end, or if he had made a bogey at 1, and shoot 68, but made the putt at 18, we feel very different. But it was a frustrating round to watch, especially if you were pulling for.
I just can't.
And you didn't even play him.
I know. I just like, I could just, it just grinds my gears. Well, Speaking of gears, speaking of being a robot, Ludwig Oberg has gone 66, 66, 68 this week. Now, he was battling. He was throwing hooks and jabs alongside Scotty Scheffler for the majority of the day. He was 4-under through 11. Then he stalled out a little bit, Greg. A bogey on 12 and then pars on each of his final six holes. He cards that 68, which is 3-under. It moves him to 13-under for the tournament. He has three shots off the pace, but maybe let a couple shots get away from him coming in, but this is still another week where Ludwig is in the mix.
Yeah, and I mean, not getting 15, that's kind of an easy one, which was frustrating. And there's a couple other birdie opportunities on that second nine. This is the amazing thing about Ludwig AI, right? This feels like a bad round. You know, you kind of go through, it's like a little bit disappointing. And it's 68, just like Cantlay. And he's at 13 under and in the mix. And you kind of feel like he can run with Scotty. He kind of feels like he has, you know, the least amount of scar tissue. He doesn't feel bothered. It doesn't feel like an issue if he gets beat. Where if you're one of these more established players and you keep getting beat by Scotty Scheffler, you're thinking, what can I do to beat this guy? Ludwig being so early in his career, it's like, what an opportunity to play and compete with this guy. You know, and I'm going to keep getting better and better and better, but I can hang. So it just looks and feels different with him. He's fun to watch. His bad golf is really good, which is that's the secret sauce.
Just wait until he gets to a golf course that he's seen before.
Yeah. They're coming later on in the summer.
They are coming. Do you know how many people played Scotty Scheffler in R1 and done this week out of like 900? Do you know how many people played Scotty?
Zero?
Three.
Yeah, I figured it was low.
Yeah, because they've either already used him and gotten millions of dollars or were worried about a WD or are saving him for like three. So really, if you have the guy in second, you're going to be making up a lot of ground.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at what he's done so far and it's kind of like, well, what? That's what I would say. If you still have Scotty Scheffler available, that I would stutter. I would stumble over my words.
I've already, you know, basically given Scotty the win with the way that I'm doing this. But the two guys who are closest to him. So solo third is Colin Morikawa. Solo second is Sepp Straka. Let's start with Colin here. He is holding this thing together. I don't know if he loves the way he's playing. He seems to be spending a lot of time on the driving range after his rounds. He's losing strokes on approach this week, which is something that is never a good sign because that is Colin Morikawa's weapon. Yet the short game has been phenomenal. He is keeping it in play off the tee. He is certainly not here with his best stuff and just two shots off the lead.
Well, I think when you look at that that short game and you look at the greens of regulation numbers, which are low for the week. I mean, in the second round, he hit 8 greens. Today he hit 12. But he's 19 of 21 scrambling. And a large part of that, in my opinion, comes from the accuracy off the tee. And to explain that, because, you know, there's obviously this big area of the game that we're jumping over. He's not hitting his irons close, but he's not double-crossing himself. So he's leaving himself these kind of straightforward puttable or straightforward chips across the green more often than not. And it's allowing him to get up and down. And occasionally he's hitting a wedge shot in there close. Seems to be liking the strategy of laying up on nine and making birdie with a wedge. So, yeah, it's a little scrappy. Like, he's hitting some shots thin, but they're not fades that are hooking like it was earlier in the year. It's just not quite sharp. So he's navigating his way around the golf course and he's staying in the mix.
He's got alligator blood. He is hanging around for sure. Solo second, Sepp Straka, 66, 65, 67, a blemish free 67 today. And that was highlighted by birdies on 2, 12, 16, and 18. That's all you had to do. And Sepp Straka, listen, I don't think it's going to happen, Greg. But the one guy who has beaten Scottie Scheffler during this stretch is Steven Yeager. That would not have been my guess. And I love Steven Yeager. Maybe Sepp goes out and adds a second name to the list of guys who have beaten Scottie.
It doesn't seem like, you know, it's a great point because he's got the right demeanor for it. It's not like a big deal.
There's certainly no pressure. Certainly no one's expecting him to do it.
No. And it doesn't feel like he needs, like, it almost feels like with Colin Morikawa, he will get upset that he's getting beat. The questions after about Scotty being, I could be number one too. You know, it's like it bothers him. And I don't think that's a bad thing. That's not what I'm saying. But Sepp, it's like, yeah, but Scotty's a good guy. You know, we're going to go play golf tomorrow. I'm going to have my Diet Coke. I'm going to go make some birdies. We're going to play golf together. And I think it's a really good golf course for Sepp.
Yeah.
He can go crazy. He can get on these crazy birdie runs. And he made this round today look really easy. You know, he kept it in front of him. He was never out of position. A lot of those pretty straightforward chips and pitches around the green that he did well with. Sepp's got the right kind of attitude to slay the dragon.
And he's grown into a nice little player. He won John Deere last year, made the Ryder Cup team. This is the type of event that he could conceivably win. However, the round of the day by two full strokes was a 63. And that was shot by Scottie Scheffler, who made five birdies on his first nine, turned in 31, and got three more coming in. For the day, he led the field in both strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained approach. It should be no surprise that he leads in both of those categories for the week as well. And Scotty is 18 holes away from another $3.6 million, another win, another jacket, and many more accolades.
It's awesome to watch. I think that's just and it's awesome to cover in a role like ours because it's never been easier. Tiger, I'm sure it was easier. I wasn't really doing this for much of Tiger's period of dominance, like the one we're seeing right now from Scottie Scheffler, but. It's unbelievable when the best player performs his or her best when they're supposed to. And he just always does.
Yeah.
Right. Rick, this baseline is unbelievably high. The round on Thursday, I was talking about this on Thursday afterwards. It's easy to think, okay, well, he just won the Masters. There's a little bit of a hangover. He shot two under. He's tired. But if you go in and look at that round, there were five or six misses from about, you know, 7 to 8 feet. And it very easily could have been like this, 65, 66, 64, maybe. Like, this isn't abnormal. It's not extraordinary for Scotty. It's ordinary. It's the baseline. And it's just, we haven't seen this in a very long time when somebody's normal golf is this good. It doesn't feel like he's doing anything crazy. It doesn't feel like this is a hot streak, if you know what I'm saying.
They are Scotty tried to give them a chance this week. Show up late, play nine holes, make double on my third hole. I tried to give you guys a chance. I shot a 69 on this. And now I must destroy you.
Hey, I must destroy you.
And I like your perspective of, do you know how often the favorite wins a golf tournament? Like, very rarely.
Yeah, right.
Very, very rarely does the favorite win a golf tournament. And he is doing it routinely with high expectations, almost on a weekly basis.
In big events.
In the biggest events that we have.
Yeah, it's amazing. I keep wanting to say unbelievable, but it is believable. It's predictable. And I'm not going out on a limb by saying I predicted this earlier in the week. I predicted this on Thursday night. It's not unbelievable. That was the easiest prediction you could make, because this is just what, this is where his game is. It's at this level. I can't remember being so confident in somebody for a long period of time. And Rick, this is the other thing that makes this so sustainable. Remember, just think back to last year when he had a disappointing two-win season. The thing that is holding this guy back from doing what he's doing now is putts from inside of 5 feet. Okay, so
the easiest part of the game.
The part that you could teach your mother how to fix. You could teach anybody how to make 5-footers. Here's the best player in the world, and it's 5-footers that are holding him back. So now that that's solved, like, this isn't going away. This has been the same for 2 years plus.
I don't want to exaggerate too much, but I do think we are going to look back in 5 years, and this might be win, I don't know, what is he at, 10 or 11? Win 10 of 25, 30? I don't know, right? I guess it depends on how far in the future we go. It just feels like he is going to be in everything.
Yes, because it's not manufactured. It's not a hot streak. Like, what's gonna stop this? But like the putting yips, maybe he develops the putting yips. I don't know what stops this. What slows this down? It's not like he hits it prestigiously far and there's like an injury on the horizon. Will Zalatoris first comes out. Okay, that guy looks like he could get hurt with his golf swing. Joaquin Neiman looks like that might be an injury prone kind of golf swing. Scotty's not that way. The putting stroke can get balky. We know that. It did this week. It wasn't great on Thursday. Knows how to solve it. Hits it good enough. It's just, it's really hard to picture this slowing down, because it doesn't feel like it's hot. It doesn't feel, he's not redlining right now. He's comfortably cruising. He's just in a really fast car.
Yeah, he's Max Verstappen right now. Are we, do you know what number of the match we're on?
Eight?
We've had 9.
Okay, so 10 is next.
Just give me Scotty versus Nelly. Just give it to me.
It's right there in front of you.
And I don't need celebrities. I don't need athletes. I need these two on, and just like, let's go. Match play. Have at it.
Take us out to someplace we're never going to see a professional event, like, you know, Bandon Dunes or a Hoopy Match Club or some like a cool kind of exclusive place.
Yeah.
And
just run it
one-on-one, like Shell's Wonderful World of Golf.
Yeah. I would be in on that. I think a lot of people would be in. I don't need to see basketball. I don't need to see Steph Curry. I don't need to see Patrick Mahomes. We'll catch those guys later. I need to see Scotty versus Nelly.
I want to see Patrick Mahomes under center. And I want to see Steph Curry with the basketball in his hands. And I want to see Nelly Korda play Scottie Scheffler. That would be awesome.
It would be sick. Josh, I imagine you're going to flip us the betting odds, and Scotty's going to have a minus. Yeah, there it is. A minus next to his name. It's minus 140 for Scotty Scheffler to win the RBC Heritage. Sepp Straka, who will be in the final group and one shot back, is 5.5-1. Colin Morikawa is two shots off the lead at 7-1. Ludvig, three shots back, 11. Sahith at 18. Cantlay, 28. Rogers, 40. Everybody else, 60-1 or longer. I'm not betting it right now, but I mean, Scotty's going to win this.
Yeah, he's going to win. But I mean, let's do a little bit of math here. So let's say Scotty shoots 60. What do you think is like the norm? 67?
Yeah, or, I was going to say 68.
Okay, I'm fine with 68. I was originally going to say that too.
Okay.
So three on. So that puts him at 19 under.
Yep.
Sepp Straka could shoot 5 under.
Could.
So that's in the mix. Yeah, Josh brings up a good point in the chat. A little more tricky conditions, may get some rain.
That's
doesn't change the number for Scotty.
The trickier the better for Scotty.
Right. Makes it harder for a 5 under round out of Sepp Straka.
They can all these guys can make birdies in ideal conditions.
Right.
It's harder. That is better for Scotty.
Morikawa at 14.
It's just not like you know how hard it is to win a golf tournament and lose strokes on approach. It's almost unheard of.
Right. So I would guess if Colin Morikawa went out and shot 5 under tomorrow, he would not be losing strokes on approach. He would gain 3 strokes tomorrow approaching the green.
I don't know. He's 14 under par and he's lost strokes on approach for the week.
It's a good point. It's a good point. But it's a stretch for him to get to 19 under. Or it'd be a really good round. I know he shot 5 under or better twice in 3 rounds. But now it's Sunday. Sahith at 13. Rogers.
Just like getting warmed up. He showed up, took it as unseriously as Scotty has ever taken a golf tournament. It started horribly and has gone 69, 65, 63. And now it's the easy part. He's just in the routine. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Like he's got the feels. It's just Scotty. I would be so surprised if he doesn't win this. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, what? Can one of these guys at 13 under go shoot like 8 under? We've seen that in the past.
Yeah,
I don't like could Seamus Power go shoot 8 under? He doesn't have any expectations. He posts 20 under.
If there's an 8 under out there though, Scotty's getting to 4.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if he has to.
Yeah, so I think really, if you truly are here right now and you're like, I need something, first off,
there are numbers you can call.
There are numbers you can call. Make sure it's an amount that you can afford to lose. Know when to lay up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think you just take Sepp Straka at 5.5-1. I mean, he is playing with house money in the final group, the closest combatant. This is a good golf course for him. He is playing like the stat profile is one that I would be pretty excited about. He's top 12 off the tee and approach, and he's putting well. He's top 25 in all 4. I think you just take Sepp Straka if you really, really need to get some type of click in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's really hard for me to go down this list and see like Morikawa, Oberg, Degala, Cantlay. Those are names that would catch your attention more than than Sepp Straka. But it's really hard to put together a pathway for that.
Sepp's been great this week. He's made one bogey and one double. He's tied for the most birdies. Stat profile's great. He's been the most accurate driver of the golf ball all week. He's been the best scrambler all week.
He's putting well. He's had a terrible putting year.
Yeah.
This is what he can do when he putts well.
Sepp has been very, very good. The problem is Scotty Scheffler exists.
Yeah. Sepp has won the Honda Classic. He's won or almost won in Memphis.
He did kind of
positional golf courses, similar lengths. I totally see it. It's not surprising that Sepp played well. Scotty ruins the fun for everybody in this.
Except for himself, except for Ted Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, me, I love watching it.
Yeah, this is pretty fun. Okay. Well, listen, it is golf. Anything can happen. There was a time where I would be very cautious to say the things that I just said, but listen, we're in Scotty's era and this is feeling a little bit different, but we'll be back, Greg. Where is, I think it's going to be fun. I want to see how Ludwig responds. I want to see what Colin does. I want to see what those guys do. And if Scotty ends up winning and running away with it, fine. I want to see what those other guys do as well.
You're not afraid to pick the 54 hole leader. But you also always have kind of a anything can happen attitude. And so to hear you talk about Scotty in this in this manner is pretty telling, in my opinion. And I agree with you.
It's wild. It really is wild. Okay. Well, we'll be back Sunday night to recap everything. And who knows? Maybe we'll have Scotty as a champ, and maybe we'll have Nelly as a champ, and we can start pitching the match 10 at we'll have to find some place. We'll have to find some real good spot to let those two battle it out at. Big thanks, producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme, you can find him at The Real GFD, and you can find me at Rick Ren Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.